afternoon talk on SAFM.
Okay, so let's get into in the spotlight mode. So if I told you that my guest spent 1 month sleeping at the station in Bloemfontein, what will you say? If I also told you that the same guy slept 6 months at the park station in Joburg, what would you say to that? If I then said that Frank Makwekwe is now the CEO of Momentum Administration Services, what would you say to that? I would say what you should be saying is, there you are. This nonsense we were speaking about earlier about crime being somebody else's problem, and we come from a divided past of rich and poor, and never the twain shall meet. You can throw that out here as examples of people whose lives can change completely. But we'll find out his story. Listen in and be inspired. If you know him, you can say hi to Frank by calling into 0891104207. Tweet me at Ashraf Garda, and you can SMS to 34701. So Frank, good of you to come in, and thanks for allowing all of us to put you in the spotlight.
Good afternoon, Ashraf. Thank you very much for having me on your show, and good afternoon to SAFM listeners.
Okay, so why do I think, what's that old phrase, everything keeps going right? I'm not even sure which advert it is. Why do I get a feeling that that's what's happening with your life now? Everything keeps going right.
I think
not before, but now. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Over the last few years, I would certainly say things have been going right. And when I look back, it wasn't always like that, you know. And I look back in terms of the foundation that the experiences of the past have made me who I am today.
So who are you then today? Tell me about you right
so,
now.
Yeah. So right now, I have been fortunate. I hold a senior position in the corporate world as a CEO, but over and above that, a very passionate person, passionate about South Africa, passionate about financial services in general, passionate about education. I'm involved at a school in Orange Farm, Masibambane College, where I'm the chairman of the council. I'm also a council member on another school. So very passionate about making a difference in South Africa, using my own story, you know, to show that one can come from very humble beginnings, but through, you know, hard work and dedication, you can achieve your goals.
Okay, so let's then go with it. Give me your story. Where did it start for you?
So, story is really one, Ashraf, of a young man who is looking forward to go to university like any other young man who has finished high school. The funds were not available. And really,
and where was that, sorry?
That was in Port Elizabeth.
Okay, PE, finished yes. High school, no money, right?
Now, I am now, what can I do next? Was really the situation that that faced me. Ended up, after talking to a few relatives down there in PE, at a small citrus farming town called Kirkwood.
Mm-hmm.
It had been very difficult for me, you know, to find work in and around Utne where I was. So I ended up there. Now, this is your typical one street little dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there. I already had a job, Ashraf. I think I must make that clear, because relatives were working at the farm, and the job there was to pick oranges.
So you would have had a
secure oranges job, and you know, you even have fringe benefit. You can eat as many oranges as you want whilst you're picking them, but you cannot take them away.
That's the perk,
right? Okay. That's the perks of the job. But I said to myself, you know what, I'm not going to just pick oranges, so I'm going to try to find a job in this little town.
And they said, you're stupid, man.
Then and the guy said, no, you're crazy, but there's already a job here. You know, relatives were there, quite comfortable, earning about 10 rands a day. Okay, so the following day, after I got there, my job is secure, is an orange picker, I went into the town. And I got a job at Kirkwood Hotel as a barman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was excited, and I said to myself, goodbye the life of, you know, picking oranges on the farm. Let me see what I can do as far as being a barman is concerned. Now, remember, this is in Kirkwood in 1992. So I'm a barman.
Changing,
the country's actually, I'm the barman for the black bar.
Mm.
All my patrons are black. I work from 10 in the morning to 10 in the evening. Then I put my white colleagues in the other bar.
In the white bar.
Only,
okay.
You know, they work shifts there. One thing that my boss said, Mr. Smith, you have the job, never drink on the job. But you'd know, Ashraf, you can't tell that a young 20-year-old. First few months, I tried. After that, you know, I would sneak in a beer, yeah, a beer there. Then after 5 months in that job, unfortunately, Mr. Smith came in and really found me on a day when I had a little bit too much behind the counter. And I lost my job.
So you were drunk?
Drunk,
okay.
Essentially. And I lost my job. Now, one thing I must tell you, when I was working as a barman, 3 meals at the hotel, I had accommodation. 20-year-old earning 300 rand a month. I didn't really have use of all this money that I had, because all the food was there. So as a young man, I was drinking. So I never got the full 300 rand, not a single man, because then they would check breakage and what I've been. So I always got 180 rand, 144 rands, things like that. Then the month that I lost my job, September 1992, I only had 74 rands.
So you were in trouble.
So job over, you fired for drinking on the job, you need to move on. And I made a decision there and there. When I look back, Ashraf, just I said to myself, you know what? This is now the time for me to go to the big city. Never been in Johannesburg, and everybody talks about the city of gold. So I had this idealistic view. You just arrived in the city of gold, and I pictured myself getting there, and you just have people, do you want a job? Come, we can start here right now. Not knowing how it was tough to get to Joburg. But with 74 rands only, I could not get to Joburg. So from Kirkwood, I went to the main train station, Port Elizabeth. Then I asked the ticket master there, I've got 74 rands. The rent was a little bit less after paying for transport to get there. I would like to get to Johannesburg. And he just laughed. They said, but the money is not enough. I said, no, thank you very much. I did suspect it's not enough. But where can I get with this amount of money? Then he said, no, the furthest or closest you can go to Joburg is Bloemfontein. Okay. Thank you very much. I bought my ticket and off I went to Bloemfontein. Not knowing anybody in Bloemfontein, go to Bloemfontein at the main train station and realize that, okay, I need to look for work. But I could
to move on,
so that I can move on to get to Johannesburg. But I could see that they, you know, there are people who spend quite a lot of time at the train station, and you can just lie down on the bench, and you know, nobody really troubles you. Sometimes the cops would come, but generally, you know, you just sit on the bench. The following morning, you wake up, wash your face in the toilets there, then you do your thing.
So you had a house to stay, basically.
And there began my first encounter with homelessness. A full 1 month at the Bloemfontein main train station. Wake up in the morning, quickly go to the public toilets there, try to spruce up yourself, then I would go looking for work. Now, Ashraf, we're not talking these days where you go to an internet cafe and you email your CV or you check, you know, in terms of...
You're going to walk, yeah.
You are walking door to door and you're seeing those signs. No job available. No job available. So I did that for about a week. End of the first week, I was fortunate enough to find a job at a small fish and chip shop, just helping around there. And for the next 3 weeks, I worked there, putting a little bit of money aside and going back, you know, to sleep at the train station with one goal in mind. I need to save, and they used to give me there about 10 rand or so a day. Put all this money that I have. My next stop is the big city, Joburg.
One goal, a goalie.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And again, in a little place like that, just like in Kirkwood at the farm, there we also had a perk or a fringe benefit. You know, you could get as much Viennas and chips as you could in the shop. So food was not really a challenge there.
So you got to Joburg.
So
then?
Eventually, I got to Joburg. Long lost aunt in Plain Street. I've got the address. But I must tell you, Ashraf, when I got to Joburg, the first thing that hit me, because I have this idealistic picture, there I am at Park Station. Nobody was running around and asking me if I wanted work. You know, some bell started ringing in my head that, you know, this picture of Joburg that I had might not be what actually it is.
Yeah,
and made
my
way from the Park Station to Plain Street, introduced myself to my long-lost aunt, and she basically said to me, you can see my situation here. It is difficult. I'm in a one-bedroom flat, my two daughters and their own kids. We can look for you, look after you for about 6 weeks. Failing of which, if you don't have a job in 6 weeks, you know, then you need to make a plan. But I was confident. In the big city, I have to find work. Immediately the following day, I started walking to Kempton Park, walking to Rosebank, door to door, Crown Mines, looking for work. 6 weeks flew by. One Tuesday, we're approaching the sixth week. My aunt just said, it looks like we're now in January 1993. And she says, how is it going? And I said, it's quite challenging. And she said, like I said to you, we can only look after you for 6 weeks. This Friday, if you haven't found a job, you need to move on. So became my second stint, and much longer. But I had been at Bloemfontein Park Station, left all my important documents with her, straight to the Park Station. And it was tough the next 6 months. Much tougher than Bloemfontein, I can tell you that, Ashraf.
So, okay. What then happened to you? Because what then changed?
So a number of things changed. So let me quickly tell you what happened. Then I got there, and the life of a homeless man, the first thing that hit you, you lose a sense of purpose. I failed. You see all these people, quickly, you're more or less like them. Mm. You know, you haven't bathed in a while, you're going door to door, you're trying to find work. And what hit me those first 2 weeks or so, I have to remain positive. So I carried on looking for work for about a month. By then, I wasn't having bathing regularly. I had a bit of a funky smell. And then I stopped looking for work. Now, one of the things that happened, interestingly, out of that decision to just say, I don't think I can go, anybody can employ me with the way I look.
So now you're in too bad a state
now
to be
I'm
employed.
Now I'm in too bad a state. And wow. Guess what? You have a challenge of where to lie down at night. Then the other challenge is food. So I would wake up in the morning and look for empty bottles, sell them, you can buy a little bit of bread. When it was really bad, I remember Jobet Park, Ashraf, going to Jobet Park on a Sunday, it was still very clean at the time, picnic, I'm waiting for people to finish their KFC, their chicken licken, throw it in the bin, I'm on top of it. That's how I survived. If that didn't help, then I'd go to corner fish and chip shops and wait for somebody who's having a meal. If they leave a little bit of pap and gravy before they clean it up, I'm on top of that. Interestingly, when I stopped looking for work, I started going to only one fish and chips place on the corner Plain and Wanderers in downtown Joburg to look for food there. Then a lady by the name of Evelyn just took an interest in me. And from there, we started chatting. Told her about myself and the challenges that I was facing. And she said, why don't you come at the end of every working day, help me pick up, she sold fruit and vegetables, help me pick up my things, and you can help me take it to my little flat. Okay, so I did that. Sometimes she'd pay me with money, 10 rand or so, sometimes with food. One day in a flat, after helping her for about a month, I'm still staying there, living there at Park Station. It struck me that, you know, Evelyn is doing reasonably okay. She can sometimes give me food. She can give me money, right? And all she's doing is selling fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
I can also do it myself. Second thought. So remember the first one, I'm stopping looking for work.
Yeah.
Which got me to Evelyn. Then after working with Evelyn for a number of weeks.
So you don't have a job and you don't want to look for a job anymore?
No.
You want to be an entrepreneur.
I was not in a state to look for a job. So I decided I'm going to ask Evelyn. After helping her, I put 50 rands in my pocket. I said to Evelyn, you know, Evelyn, I was thinking, I also want to start, selling like you, fruit and vegetables. And she looked at me, and I'm sure she thought, well, what does this guy know about selling fruit and vegetables? She didn't really think, you know, I would be successful in that. So she said, okay, I'm sure you can do that. Where do you want to do that? Now, if you remember in downtown Joburg, you know, you can just go next to someone. So I just said there, pointed to a spot next to her. And she said, okay, no, that's fine. And there I started a small business. With my 50 rand, I bought a bag of potatoes, a crate of tomatoes and a bag of onion. Took two clover crates, threw a door on top, I've got a shop. And I started selling fruit and vegetables. A week into that, Ashraf, it hit me. You know, everybody around here sells the same thing. Four onions for 1 rand. Six tomatoes for 1 rand. Bananas, 1 rand. What about if I'm different? I mean, I didn't have the language at the time, but it was really being creative or innovative using business language.
I just said
to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put three tomatoes, one onion, some chilies, and a green pepper for that 1 rand.
So like a mixed bag.
Like a mixed bag. Then I'm going to do the same thing with fruit. And believe it or not, within weeks, Ashraf, I was doing extremely well. By end of the second month, I had employed two additional people. That's from that idea.
All right, there you are. If you just tuned in, I did tell you, you will be inspired. I probably haven't spoken as little as I had before because there's a story just to listen to. Frank Makwekwe is my guest. He is now the CEO of Momentum Administration Services. So a division obviously within Momentum, right?
Yes.
So that's his position now. 6 months at Park Station, Joburg, 1 month in Bloemfontein, selling fruit and veg on the street with a 50 rand investment, and his life has changed forever. Tipe is saying this guy is a classic example of sow a thought, reap in action, sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character, sow character and reap destiny. And here's another one. He was lucky to be allowed to sleep at the station. In the 60s, the police would have nabbed him for loitering. And another one, Imelda saying, Ashraf, I'm laughing out so loud about drinking on the job. And Mr. Smith, very funny. Well, maybe he's going to thank Mr. Smith now for blasting him as he did, because you never know. Maybe picking up oranges. You see, that's the point. Don't be too comfy in your job, because you may just never leave the job. I think there's a big take out for that one there. Okay, so you made money. And you employ two people.
I'm now a small businessman, an entrepreneur. I didn't use that language. Then another decision afterwards. You know, I almost think of it as connecting the dots. When I look back, some of the decisions that I made, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Stopping looking for work, I bump into Elizabeth. I help you a little bit. I've got 50 rand, you know, capital. So the other decision that I made, I'm now fairly successful. I found a little place to stay after I've employed these guys, and I'm doing reasonably well. One of the proudest moments of my life was round about August in 1993. I had managed to put aside 800 rand.
How did you do that? There are people who earn 50,000 rand a month and they can't put 500 rand aside.
From the three people working for me and really just looking after my money well. Okay. Walked to a post office, opened a little account, and put that money in. I'll come back to that money, what it then helped with. But now I'm a businessman, right? Yeah. But I never lost my desire, Ashraf, for tertiary education.
Okay.
Today, when
so we've forgotten, you finished matric.
Yes.
Right?
So
that had no money in PE,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. That dream, the language I use today, it was just defeat. I never told myself it wasn't going to happen. I just said to myself, I don't know, I'll see, but let me see, you know, the path that I'm following now and what will come out of it. So now I'm not homeless. I'm not very comfortable. You know, I wake up at 2, get the vegetables, talk with the guys. One day, Ashraf, I said to myself, but I can't do this for the rest of my life. I still have a dream of university. There and there, I made a decision. I'm going to employ another person. In today's business language, I'm going to take a sabbatical.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell myself.
Employ a gap year, maybe.
Just a few months. And guess what I did? One of the places that I love in Joburg, public library on Simon Street.
Okay.
I would go and get
a big library.
And the big library for my guys. I stalk with them. I take stock. And I would go to the library, read the newspapers. Read books, keep up to date with
so loafing, according to other people.
According to other people,
he is doing nothing.
But I'm on sabbatical because I'm thinking about the next step for myself, and I'm running a small business. Yeah. Guess what happened out of that? One day, I come across this lady in the library. She took an interest in me.
What's her name?
Mrs. Zimmerman, a Jewish lady.
Zimmerman, right.
Zimmerman,
okay,
yeah, she's passed on now. Mrs. Zimmerman. And one thing that I learned when you're homeless, right, you have to learn to trust people. You can't be angry against the world because they don't know what happened to you. They did not put you in this situation.
Yeah.
So I had to remain positive. Stop being angry. Seeing people at Jobet Park having a picnic, you know, and you feel angry. Seeing people working and you feel angry. And I had to control my emotions, right? And as a result of that, I was vulnerable, told Mrs. Zimmerman my story. And guess what she told me? She said, you know what? Yes, you should be at university, given what you are saying about your matric. Why are you not at university? So go now if you can. To Bloemfontein.
Mm-hmm.
Having been in Bloemfontein, I got confused a little bit and said, Bloemfontein? You can do what? She said, no, just Bloemfontein, you can walk there.
Yeah.
That's university, apply to study there. On the way there, go to the South African Institute of Race Relations, apply for a bursary. That's exactly what I did.
So basically, you said you had no money, and she said,
go apply for a bursary, go and apply for a place at the university, deal with the money later.
Okay, we'll find out. Deal with the money later. My goodness. This man's confident. Well, Mrs. Zimmerman obviously was even more confident than he was. We'll find out more about this unique story of Frank Makgwegwe, who's now the CEO of Momentum Administration Services, talking about financial advice. Well, he got that advice anyway, even though he didn't realize it at the time. Lots more to come from him. I'll take your calls, by the way, if you want to. Well, what about you? Come on. Are you actually going to let this man slip by and not say hi to him on the air and tell him, I just love your story? I know what I would do. 0891-104-207. Please.
Afternoon Talk on SAFM.
Okay, Momentum's man, Frank Makgwegwe, is my in the spotlight guest. Okay, so let's get this out of the way. Mrs. Zimmerman says the fact that you have no money is not a reason not to go and study at the university.
Yes.
And she tells you to go to these people for a bursary, and what happens then?
So I apply at Vets, and
didn't know that before.
Yes. So I just thought I didn't have enough. So I had a little bit of money in the bank, the money that I spoke about earlier on. Probably was about 1,000 rand by then. But I just felt this is not enough to actually help you. But I didn't know you can get it. And sadly, I come across lots of young people today who don't know how to access corporate, you know, bursaries. So off I went, applied to study for a BSc at Vets, and apply at the South African Institute of Race Relations. October 1993, I've got a place. I've been accepted to study for a BSc degree at Vets University. with the money that I'd been putting aside, I've got a little bit of money, you know, to start the whole process of registration. Then in April of 1994, by the time they are more headed vets, the South African Institute of Race Relations in Obesari comes through. And I am now a student at vets at the dawn of our democracy in 1994.
First year, and you got the bursary as well.
And then I got the bursary as well.
Is that the story? I mean, that was the defining moment that moved you away from citrus picker to barman to sleeping in Bloemfontein to Joburg Park to fruit and veg. Now, effectively, you're moving to another level.
We are moving to another level. And for me, those coincidences or connecting the dots, when you look back, it's into, you know, over planning it. But also, Ashraf, I think what's also important, you know, also in the story, is that there are hundreds of homeless people. Really, homelessness is a terrible condition. And it's really, I say, I beat the odds and escaped it. Because many people don't. And it's through Mrs. Zimmerman, it's through Evelyn. Thank you to the South African Institute of Race Relations, eventually, getting into and ultimately getting into vets. And I'm so passionate about education. Because for me, Ashraf, without a doubt, education was the bridge to a better life for me.
You need to tweet that later on. Education was the bridge to a better life for me. Let me ask you this. We've been speaking about crime just now. Did you not succumb to crime?
No, I did not.
Because others may say, ah, come on, it's justified.
And I spend a lot of time thinking about that in terms of when I come across people who are homeless, trying to help them. And I look back and there are certain decisions that I made. So, for example, I just never settled for sitting or standing on a traffic light and begging. I said, I'm not going to do that. Some of the people at Park Station, every night, they went to homeless shelters in Hillbrow. I said to myself, I'm not going to a homeless shelter. The moment I start going to a homeless shelter, I'm going to be comfortable, I get a meal, I get a bed, and then I'm going to remain here. You know, I'm not going to do that. So crime was also another
thing. Which makes sense. You become very comfortable.
I said to myself, I am not going, you know, to do that. So it's really about, you know, decisions that we make and almost what we think of our life going forward.
Good point. I always say that the one prayer I make every day to God is, give me the power to make the right decisions. Absolutely. Every single moment. Because we're all faced with decisions every single day. I'll get to, I think it's Amit, we'll get to him or her in a minute. Tell you what, I picked up some SMSs. Ashraf, please ask your guest, taking off and going to a place where you know no one, no money, and not knowing where you will sleep, does it point to a, I'm not sure what that means. And then Anne saying, wonderful, funny, inspirational, what a tonic. Thank you, Anne, in the Western Cape. In fact, Gavin Coppel, who's the father of Danny Kay, who heads up Shout South Africa, said even before he started, he said, this guy needs to do a movie. His story is just something else. I completely agree. Sibos, he's just saying, lovely, funny, and inspiring story from my homeboy there, Ashraf. I reside in Uteneg. You should consider giving motivational speeches. I think it does to a degree. And if you probably want him to talk, just drop me an email. I will certainly connect you guys. Sibuyile is saying, his is an inspirational story. What is he currently reading? And how many books does he read a month? Chinemo Elias saying, just by listening to your guest, I guess being poor is my choice. You can start small and become huge. And Slechlecha Books, Johnny Alfani saying, a very inspiring story. Frank has there. Absolutely. Siad Dlamini saying also the same thing. The way he narrates his story tells you that he's worked very, very hard. And there's another, McDonald's saying, so inspiring. Imzukizi saying, I can relate to your guest story, but I laugh with tears in my eyes. Truly inspirational. And there's more. There's a whole lot more around it. All got this great story. Again, another one saying, again, Ashraf, it's a good story commonly told by most black people who are successful. Well done, Frank, that you also managed to pull through. It was tough. Another one, Ashraf, please share this contact. I'm a qualified engineer who studied with bursaries from Standard 6. Now I run bursaries, the Bursary and Career Guidance Center. Okay, maybe just drop me an email and I'll connect you guys. Ashraf, spelled A-S-H-R-A-F, Ashraf at safm.co.za. Right, my guest to be talking about, and all we're talking about is a journey, Frank Makwekwe. What a journey it certainly is. Okay, Amit, let's get your thoughts first. Hi. Amit, hi.
Hi. Hi, Ashraf. Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm very good. Go ahead, yeah.
Good, thanks.
Frank, I'm very inspired. I also went through like similar to your life, but now, at the moment, I'm sitting also and hunting for employment, you know, and there's no chance. Nobody's giving you a chance, you know, and I don't know if you can help me.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Drop me an email. Let's see if I can connect you guys. Okay, Amit?
Okay, just must I drop an email to you?
Dump me an email and then I'll connect you guys. All right. Thank you so much. No promises. Okay. That's up to Frank what he can do, right? Thank you. Lebo, go ahead. Hi.
Lebo, hi. Good afternoon, Asa.
Yes, Lebo.
Oh, you know what? That gentleman that you have in your studio really has pulled himself with his bootstraps. And I wish that such a program can be repeated for many of our people who just sit there and do nothing. I want to say to the gentleman, indeed he's an inspiration to many of us, especially the people from a very poor background like his. I need just to give him millions and billions salute and say, well done, keep it up, big man.
Lovely. Thank nice. You. Lovely story, Lebo. Thank you so much. How often do you get that? With, like even at work now where you're working, and if you've just tuned in, we are talking about the CEO of Momentum Administration Services. How many people at work knows your story?
So it's quite a few. So I'm busy running a program now where we employing unemployed graduates and train them to be financial advisors. So what I do as part of the induction, I give a talk on purpose in life. You know, the earlier question was what am I reading now? The two books that I'm currently reading at the moment, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. It's just going back to really connect, and because for this wonderful quote where he talks about, you know, man finds meaning through purposeful work and overcoming challenges. Then the other book that I'm reading is by Clayton Christensen, How Will You Measure Your Life? Again, it talks about work, it talks about values, talks about, you know, life balance. So I give a talk around purpose and I share a little bit, and the reaction that I get is, who are you kidding? I mean, that's nonsense.
It's not you.
It's not you.
Well, you see, your story is so great because it's so authentic. It's happened to you. It's not about relating somebody else's story. But I don't want to forget this. You spoke about the library, and you reading for you is very important. I think there's a quote in one of the notes I read about you. Were you quoted, I think maybe an American president?
I'm yes, Henry S. Truman.
Truman, right, yeah.
Yes.
Just quote that quote and tell me what does it mean for you.
So not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. So right from that sabbatical that I spoke about and was spending time, you know, at the library, reading really occupies a big part of my life. So I read between 60 and 80 books a year on various things, African fiction, business books, etc., etc. And for me, it's really about empowering yourself, you know, through knowledge, relaxing, you know, reading fiction. And the beauty of seeing a young person being transported to another world, you know, through that ability to read. Of course, that ability to read quite key as well in terms of, you know, as you move up the corporate world in understanding, writing exams and that sort of thing. So it really occupies, you know, a big part of my life. So I spend a lot of time, you know, involved in schools, donating books. I'm the kind of friend where if I read a book like this book, How Will You Measure Your Life? I was so excited. I bought 30 copies and gave every member of my team that you've got to read this book. So I really enjoy my reading, and it's something that I encourage all people
to come. You're going to tweet that quote just now, but just repeat that quote again about readers.
Yeah, so
not all readers are
leaders. Are leaders, but all leaders are readers. Henry S. Truman.
So if you want to be a leader, there's no way you're going to be a leader without reading. I mean, that's like a not negotiable. Okay, there you are. Frank continue chatting to my guest, Frank Makhwekhwe. Okay, so let's just fast forward. You then did a degree. What degree was it?
So I did a degree in actuarial science. I must just tell you how, Ashraf.
And he's saying it very, very lightly.
I ended up doing that.
I did a degree in actuarial science. Like, that's like winning the Currie Cup or something in rugby. I mean,
tell you how I ended up doing that degree, and why I'm also passionate about mentoring young people as they get to university. So I go to vets, offer this, go. Faculty of Science. And, you know, you can pretty much qualify to study whatever you want there. So I get there, not really knowing, you know, what I want to study. You know, when you're growing up, maybe engineering, chemical, and, you know, I didn't really have the good marks for that. But you could do something for Faculty of Science. I get there, and I'm talking to the lady in administration that, you know, I'm coming from the Faculty of Engineering. They say I must come here so that I can see what I can study for. The dean overhears me saying that, right? And he says, what's your maths grade, you know? And he says, that's a good grade for you. Be in maths. That is very good. You know what? I know the right course for you. Just walk out of this office, walk right, look on top of the corridor. The poster that's there, that's what you must study. So I do that. And I see this poster. Do you like numbers? Are you passionate for maths? then a career in actuarial science is right for you. The reason why I'm telling you this little bit of a story is I spend a lot of time with matric students going to varsity the following year. And just the lack of advice on careers and what jobs you'll get post that. Career guidance, you know, which really should start when somebody is selecting their subjects for grade 10. That is something that, you know, we can all do more as people in the corporate world to really empower matrix to choose the right subjects, and eventually, you know, you study this. But yeah, I did that BSc, then did a BSc honors in Maths or Finance, then started working. Then part-time, I did an MSc in Maths or Finance. You can also see I enjoy continually improving myself through
research. So how then did you get into Momentum? What happened? Just take me up that ladder.
So Momentum approached me after having spent quite a bit of time in the corporate world in South Africa in banking and asset management. They approached me in 2010, you know, to be CEO of Momentum Administration Services. And I've done, you know, various other jobs in Momentum, but it was as a result of, you know, the experience that I had built up working in corporate such as Standard Bank. I worked for Deutsche Bank.
Okay.
And for,
all right. People can, they can read up about all that about you. They can just Google it, right? Somebody's asking a question. Did he put his story in writing? If not, he must.
I do get where I do share it in, you know, I get opportunities like this. I do get people who say that, when is the book coming?
When is the book coming?
I haven't put it in writing yet.
But a person who writes, that, who loves that, reading books,
yeah,
and you haven't written your book. There's the irony. This brother is a giant. Great story comes from, it says, Benzi Soko in Bethal, Mpumalanga. I completely agree with you, Benzi. Right, what about, I want just touch on this one quickly, your NGO called Inspire Believe. Just a bit more detail on that.
So I had this, I must just tell you a little story, Ashraf. So in 2013, September and October, I had the most fortunate experience of being able to spend 2 months at the Harvard Business School doing the advanced management program. I won a scholarship to go and study there. And my command gave me time off. And the 2 months that I spent there really helped me to really sit and think about purpose. That's why I came across that book. How will you measure your life? What impact do I want to make on others? You know, when I think, for example, the book that, you know, maybe should be coming, I almost think of it as a title, maybe, you know, From the Streets to the Boardroom. Then it's got a subtitle, A Life of Service. So I was thinking about that. And when I came back, I said to myself, I like the National Development Plan. I like the pillar of active citizenry. I like the pillar of driving South African towards a common purpose. I want to do something where I put my own money to contribute. So I set this NPO, I put 5% of my own salary in there, and then we pay school fees for children attending Masibambane College in Orange Farm. That's one of the big things that we do. And then the second thing is we help matriculants in Orange Farm and at that school in particular to get bursaries with corporates. So last year, we got in matric of 2014, we got 3 students, got Momentum bursaries, 2 students, one got a BITVES bursary, and one got another bursary. Looking at good marks, place at a university, but I never got a bursary. So Inspire Belief is really about social transformation through education, given how education was the bridge for a better life.
So if someone said to you, the Minister of Higher Education or even Basics says, come and sit with me in my department. I need your input on about education. Would you, have they asked you?
I would love that opportunity. No, I haven't been asked, but I know exactly what I would say. I'll say a few things, being involved in school, you know, a council. So firstly, I like the energy, for example, of MEC, Panyaza Lesufu in Gauteng, right? But what frustrates me being involved in the school system is that we spend a lot of time tinkering with grade 9s and grade 10s and talking about the matric pass rate. I don't think enough emphasis is put at the foundation phase. I get frustrated in schools where grade 1 teachers, to me, to be a grade 1 teacher, I mean, it takes something. Think about taking these young people and you're teaching them maths and how to read. So I would say minister in emphasis in the building phases. We don't have enough teachers there because teachers don't see it as prestigious to teach that. When you look at countries like Finland, for example, Ashraf, people who apply to teach in foundation phases, only 10% get jobs to teach in
there. There's such a demand to teach there.
Such a demand to teach there. So I would talk to them about that. Then I would say to them, in 2015, where we going to be celebrating 21 years of democracy, it's a shame that we can have kids falling into pit latrines and dying at a school in South Africa. Really, I know lots of effort is being put into school infrastructure, but really more concerted, you know, effort. That's the second thing. I'll do foundation phase, sort out school infrastructure.
Okay, interesting one. Well, we've got a minute to go. I can't believe it. Who would you like to put into cabinet? A non-politician.
Yes, I would say one of my the people that I really role model, that I look up to, the outgoing CEO of First Rand Group, Sizwe Ngasane.
Who was just moving out now.
Just what he has achieved, setting up his own business, exiting that, being CEO of a listed entity, Telkom, exiting that, running another listed entity, being involved actively in terms of founding National Education Collaboration Trust, and I also know through his family trust, he does a lot of giving as well. So for me, he is a turnaround specialist. We are looking for someone to turn around ESCOM.
He's got time now. You can see the light. He's seen the light a long time ago.
He's my cabinet.
A book, very quickly, a book you recommend we absolutely must read.
So I'll go back without a doubt. Professor Clay Christensen, How Will You Measure Your Life? A very easy read, but it makes you think.
How will you measure your life? Yes. And a great quote.
I'll go back to my quote about, you know, not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. And maybe I can talk a little bit about my mantra in finishing.
Okay, you've got 30 seconds, yeah.
My life on this basis, I'm trying to encourage, you know, people really to search for excellence. So I am pleased, but not satisfied. So I feel I've climbed a small mountain with where I am today, but there's bigger peaks and bigger mountains that I must climb. So I'm pleased, but not satisfied.
And all I can say is there are days we're despondent about South Africa. There are days like today where I feel, wow. So thank you for allowing me to put you in the spotlight. It's been an absolute privilege.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And we should get you again to talk about mentorship and other things, because I think you've got lots to say around active citizenry, as you said. Frank Makwekwe in the spotlight, the CEO of Momentum Administration Services. And I would suggest listen to the podcast tomorrow on safm.co.za and share that with other people as well. In fact, I dare you, because it's all about inspiring belief, and he's done just that.